This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
All right, let's take another deep dive into the land of psychology, deception, and criminal behavior. Because this case just got even weirder than we expected it to. The defense in the Brian Koberger trial just dropped a bombshell saying he was framed. That's right, according to them, someone planted the DNA on the knife sheath at the scene of the crime, which means we've got a new question on our hands. Is this a Hail Mary legal strategy, or could someone have actually orchestrated a setup this elaborate? Here to break it down, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, you've spent decades analyzing human behavior. When you hear cover-up or frame-up in a claim like this, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Like, what's the psychology behind trying to sell this type of defense?
You know, it's funny, Tony, the number of times we've covered cases where someone's claiming they were framed, it's never once been the case. It's very, very rare for that to happen because the amount of time, effort, and resources it takes to do that, you have to look at the motivation behind someone, why someone would want to do that. And we're not seeing the connectivity on that one. And also, and I get the point. Once again, defense attorney is doing a great job of trying to sow seeds of doubt to save his life. And so if you took this incident isolated and said with two things. Mm-hmm. So a couple of weeks ago, they said we have other DNA that was found there in the glove and under the fingernails of one of the victims.
Yep.
Now we have the theory of the knife sheath was planted because it's a cover up. So if you just took those two data points by themselves, you know, you can say, huh, maybe it wasn't Koberger. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that we have cell phone triangulation. We have him in the area. We got him traveling cross country with his dad acting really weird with two car stops. And then we actually have him packaging up all his trash in baggies in the middle of the morning as the police is barging down the door as he's putting the trash in the neighbor's next door trash cans.
Yeah, with gloves on.
That's just those are just a few things that we know about. So
exactly.
This is not a big deal. This is, again, a Hail Mary. Like I said, it's a Hail Mary trying to save a life by not having a jury go 100%, all of them 100% convinced beyond a reasonable doubt.
It's a big shift. And I mean, if it even makes it into the trial, we will see. Because if it does make it in, I mean, we've bounced from so many different theories here on Koberger. Now, essentially, by saying it was planted, they're acknowledging that it's his DNA. They're not, I mean, before it was, well, the science is not that great. Maybe it could be this. Maybe now, okay, you got us. This is DNA, but it was planted. It can't be very easy to plant touch DNA, especially the way that they found it. It wasn't like it was, you know, like you have it on something and they smeared it around like on the sheath somewhere where like, okay, well, you got it on there. I mean, this is in a very specific spot, the spot where one would logically leave touch DNA because you have to apply a lot of pressure with your thumb or whatever finger you're using to snap that button. And it's right there where one would expect that to be.
And here's something else that allows that to fall apart.
Yeah.
Is the fact that also where the knife sheath was found was under one of the victims. Mm-hmm. And so think about this. Do the thought experiment. All right, so I'm the person that's actually the murderer, and I was intentionally thinking I'm going to leave this to frame Brian Koberger. And where would you think of leaving it? You're going to want to leave it, even if I had enough information. Granted, I never was that clear on touch DNA and how easy it was to get until mm-hmm. this. So if you're actually going to plant evidence, you wouldn't be planting one cell of touch DNA on a knife sheath. You'd be going for something much bigger, like blood in a glove, like something a little bit more obvious, because you want it to be so plainly obvious that's Koberger that you wouldn't leave a touch DNA molecule on a thumbprint, you know, on a knife sheath snap underneath the body that you've killed that's covered in blood.
It seems like quite a stretch to do that. And yeah, I would think you would have number one, how would you collect it? And then how would you even be sure that it's there? Because it's touch DNA. It's not like it's not like blood where you can see it and go, okay, this is here. We've spread this around the crime scene. And you'd think you'd put it in more than one place if you're planting it to really make sure that you framed Brian Koberger for this quadruple homicide. But that's not really what happened. I ran through my mind. If he really wanted to get off on this, he should have cut one of his fingers off. Like, oh shit, I left the sheath. Let's chop a finger off, throw it away, get rid of it, and then claim somebody broke into my house and cut my finger off. So,
think about this too.
Oh,
if you really wanted to frame him, why wouldn't you leave the knife?
Yes. There's so many other ways.
Yeah.
And why would you frame him? Why would anyone go to this length to frame Brian Koberger of all people? And it wasn't like this is like a 5-year cold case and suddenly, oh, this new evidence is right here that we didn't ever realize was there before. No, this happened all pretty quickly. So they'd have to be like right away, right off the bat going, okay, these four college kids, we're going to kill them and we're going to frame this other guy in the town next door for it. There's no motive here. There's no reason why this would even take place. And if you're going to kill those kids, I don't think you're thinking far enough ahead or really have the means again to frame anyone in this, especially Brian Koberger of all people.
So it brings us to our next thought experiment with this one is, like you're saying, you know, so in order to say he was framed, well, then we have to have a plausible individual. Just even a biography of or a profile of someone that would do that. And a profile of someone would do this would be someone who is so vengeful against Koberger that they'd want to frame him. And then also someone that actually would there'd have to be connectivity between the girls, or at least one of them, and the actual perpetrator, since there wasn't a connection between Koberger and the girls that we know of yet. And so since it'd be a stretch, the murder would actually have to be connected to girls in some way, which they've explored all of that already and couldn't come up with anyone. And then not just there'd have to be a connection, you'd actually have to show a behavior arc of this individual that they're actually escalating from 0, 1 mile an hour at a time, all the way up to eventual violence and then killing, and then also show the propensity for framing. In other words, there'd be someone with a lot of potentially illegal activity that they've already done in their life, violence in their lives, that would be arcing up to doing this behavior that's already connected to the girls.
Yeah. Again, none of it makes any sense of why.
It's a lot of it. People don't do that because that's a lot of bandwidth, a lot of effort, and all that falls apart.
Yeah, I think you just, if you were to go in and do this and it wasn't Koberger, you would just kind of go for there's no evidence of anyone, not that there's evidence of someone else or very, you know, just the touch DNA alone. It does. And then you'd have to have a reason to be killing four innocent people as well and a motive to frame Brian Koberger for that murder.
I really think she's just going for the life save of to as she's been doing with the autism attempt, as she's been doing with everything, is to try to pull on heartstrings of at least one juror that's going to have doubt. And, or if not doubt, at least a heart-wrenching pull that's of, you know, I don't want to take this life. Not you know, the whole idea of just because these lives are gone doesn't mean we should take another one. I literally think that's what her motive is.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.